The mouths of babes. They'll tell on you every time.
This is tape number 2 on August the 28th, 1994. Thank you, Commander.
Her going by here with the hiccups reminds me of Jack Donahue yesterday. Telling Dorma about this new herbal healing recipe that he got, and then found actually that you had published it also. You soak raisins in gin, and then you eat 4 raisins 900 times a day. And he notes that his arthritis is almost gone, and he doesn't give a damn. So perhaps Jackie is giving you a little hint. You know, she is young and youthful, uninhibited, does wonders. And the iron in the raisin's really good for, it's a good health tonic for the blood. And you can tell everybody you are addicted to the raisins. They won't believe you, but it won't matter either. I know that there is a longing within you for everything to just run smoothly and perfection just happens. I mean, with God, perfection ought to happen. Well, I won't tell you something that's going to really hurt your feelings. Perfection is happening. God is perfection. You just don't understand it. The lessons are coming off perfectly. And you're learning. And man only learns well by experience. You can take that farther. How can you condemn something? Let us even talk about the Federal Reserve System if you don't understand how it works. So you're going to find a lot of very unexpected things crossing your path. Or you are doomed to repeat them into infinity. You must set your goals. You must experience in the moment, but you must never lose sight of your goal. Your enemy has never, never, not for one split second, lost sight of his goal. The reason that you do is because you come from a lighted place of creation. And you enter this experience without the veil originally. So you know that you are capable of creation. He cannot afford to lose sight of his goal of soul acquisition, because that's all the closer he's ever going to get to his own soul fulfillment. And that is how many he can keep away from the light over here in his company, focused on a humanistic viewpoint of existence. Because outside this physical realm, there is no existence of that at all. That is the terror. That is the terror, the unknown expression, when you are convinced this is all there is. And I'm going to remind you that impatience is only the proof of your lack of faith. And to change the world, you're going to have a lot of faith. But blind, stupid faith is worse than anything you can come up with. It will not shower down on you. You'll have to work at it. even after reading it, studying it, even after you can comprehend its meaning. It has to become a thought expression within you, or it's still sitting right there within reach, but totally elusive, isn't it? And no matter who you are or what you're doing, it's there. Part of the reason it's there is to cause you to look and learn. If you burn yourself the first time, you're not apt to go and do it again, unless it's for vanity. Isn't that interesting? Why would I make a statement like that in a discussion like this? This mission is going to depend upon what you once do. Maybe there'll be some in Colorado, but I'm telling you right now that it's going to be mostly dumped on you. The ones in Colorado may very well have a different focus, a different purpose. And that's probably not going to be as pleasant as ones might think. Oh, I'm just waiting. No, the grass really isn't greener just across the fence. It only perceives itself to be because you're not there. It reminds me a little bit about Gunther. He cannot enjoy Austria and its beauty and his homeland for several reasons, one of which he's got to whine now about not being able to come back over here. What the hell would you want to come back over here for? If you've got everything over there. Well, obviously you don't have everything over there, do you? You only thought you did. And this is what the evil master will do to you every time. And always that plum is just kept just barely out of reach. And sometimes I have a lot of trouble keeping it out of reach. I'll let you get your fingers sticky every now and then. The last day, I have to tell this one. I know that Ed would do better, but I'm going to. The very last day, everything was done, supposedly. Had to go back from Salzburg and back into Vienna to get these things done. So you go down to make, finally you've got all your documentation. You've seen all the documents you need. You've got them now with you, just exactly like they told you it had to be. And you go down there and they say, oh, well, we can't do this because there is a document missing. No sweat. Document might be missing, but it's in Salzburg. We've seen it. We know. We'll call right over there and they'll send it. Not if I could help it, and I could. They couldn't find it. They had misplaced the document. I can't do it for you, but I can sure botch up the memory of the clerk who lost the document. Don't try to fool Mother Nature, God, or the Nazis. The latter is pretty important. I am really being a little bit flippant about it, but you are never going to find more sophisticated intelligence officers than coming out of the Austrian hierarchy. Never. Anywhere. And I think that you might guess that that hierarchy, all you've got to do is look and see what they're trying to do to Kurt Waldheim and his Nazi connection to see who the enemy is. This is the purest, most visible form of recognizing an enemy. And you're never going to get away with calling this Jewish or anti-Semitism. It isn't. What do we call this? The Mishpucha? Mishpucha.
Mishpucha.
Well, we have at least four versions. Mishpucha. It's the Jewish crime family. Read that very, very carefully in the paper. You are getting information that would boggle the minds of anybody. Anybody. Any historian. Use it. How long ago did we first write about this crime element? Probably years and years. But now it comes along again, written in such a way that you have to look at it and it means something. And there is your element of truth. You don't have to use the self-styled Jews. You are talking about ones that are as far removed from Judaism or Hebrewism as anything imaginable. You are talking about the most sophisticated, clever crime family in any physical world. And it doesn't matter where you are experiencing your physical world, they will be there. They are the Antichrist. And they have set it up so that you are so confused by linguistics and language and terminology and definition that there's no way for you to figure it out. And the intent is that you always figure it out too late to do anything about it. Well, don't you think that it's time for God's people to stop being the blind ones? It's all right to try. It's all right to test. But it's not all right to try and test and be proven and confirmed and then go right ahead and do it again and again and again. That is stupidity. Not foolishness. That is stupidity. Even the child will learn that it's better not to put your hand on that particular hot pot again if it burned the first time. That's conditioned learning. Pavlov's puppies ring the bell. They salivate. This is the way they train you to overeat. This is the way they train you to be unhappy. This is the way they train you to have to look like sticks. This is the way they train you to have Jordache jeans. Or you cannot possibly go to school. But we're going to now make it so that children wear uniforms. Except the ones whose parents ride in and won't allow it. Well, guess who they're going to be? So you're still going to have the line, aren't you, between the lower class and upper class, where they can afford $200 sneakers. You've got to learn to look at what is and not the facade. And until we can have ones that can manage within the reality of what we must accomplish without the illusion of all the accoutrements of great ego strokes. We can't make it. It's too important. I am responsible, and I shoulder my responsibilities. And Dorma would like to go back to the times that we just laughed and had a great time. An old commander was so patient, and there would be all those energy forms around saying, wait, just wait. He's not near as nice as you think he is. And I have to live up to that, don't I? And I'm capable of it. You don't have to take my burden, and I'll help share yours. But I'm certainly going to live up to my responsibility. And by doing that, it means that I have to insist that anyone's with me live up to theirs. And there is certainly nothing wrong with not participating in anything. There's nothing wrong with that. The one problem we have, George keeps sending out his packages every week, another 500, I guess. Starting off now with that Ecker cult. Oh my goodness, now our Ecker cult, because EJ and Dorma disagree so much anymore that my cult is down to one. It's all right if the ones who gather get down to one, as long as we individually do our jobs. And the pain comes when you realize that even what small amount of camaraderie you have been able to have has been used against you, and everything they will do will be used against you, and you can feel it slipping and slipping and slipping closer to strangling you. And the heart cries out, don't take away this last fragment of the friendship that I must have to survive. It isn't worth it if I cannot have a Sunday afternoon where I can be at peace with my friends. Or a Tuesday or a Wednesday. It was interesting to note, as the ones came today, that some people were getting ready to go do some church thing, and they're all dolled up in ties and hot coats, and you can really tell they're going to church. It's like a uniform, isn't it? And Norma looked down and said, oh my goodness. Just close your eyes, dear, and no one will see you. We're going to do it. And if you ones will get out of the way of yourselves, we'll do a lot faster, won't we? Anybody want to ask me anything? Because I think it's about time to close this meeting. There's enough to think about. And Ed is lined up, you know, with appointments for the confessional. Or he can change his mind and I'll just let him have the microphone and he can do it one-to-one on a larger scale.
Commander, I want to get one in before Ed does. These intensive blue lights that some of us are seeing behind the mountain ranges. I talked to Dr. Young about it, and he has seen them at different times. Can you give us any clue of what it is that we're seeing that's that intense and goes from the ground up?
Yes, I can. You should not, if it stays without going out, you shouldn't peer at it too long, because you're going to be picking up above the ultraviolet frequency. Those are photon holographs. They are practicing either bouncing off the surface or just simply sending them up. I don't believe that there are anything that you need to be concerned about at this time other than go and enjoy them. But that's experimental stuff. And you see, what you need to be really nervous about are the things that, like they just put up a couple of days ago on your Atlas rocket. Those can also send those photon balls of energy. And when they're blue like that, you know you're dealing with something of a very, very high frequency. It'll match, for instance, the blue crystal. So just enjoy it. If craft comes out of it, I don't think that you have anything in that location, I'll put it that way, that will house the necessary mechanical equipment to produce that. So I think you're pretty safe. They've been practicing at this now for about 7 years, and they're getting very, very good at it. Right now they're just practicing with it.
The part of blue beam?
I'd rather really not go into that. It's certainly blue, and it's a beam, so I guess so. But I'll tell you, the projections of such as the Christ energy figure at the UN, that is blue beam. And even in the daytime, you see those intense frequency outlines will show up on film when they're not there to the naked eye. These are very real. Well, we got through that one.
Commander, this is David, and I want to thank you for your presence, your continued presence. It's always greatly appreciated.
I thank you for yours.
I have a question that I've had off and on since I was a child. I've noticed this phenomenon. This may seem like a silly question, but it's coming from me, so that's understandable. There is always an occurrence that happens whenever there's a situation like Jeffrey Dahmer or O.J. Simpson or Michael Jackson or anything like that. And it's a form of communication that seems to be faster than anything around, and that's these jokes that go around that start. Most of them are kind of sick jokes, but they nonetheless, within a couple days, they are everywhere, and they're returning full circle within just a matter of a few days, and everybody has heard them.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way that we can attach the truth to that form of communication transportation?
Well, it does beat the speed of light. A lot of those are pre-planned, and they're ready, and the wits are at it, and it's just a network for building and building and building. You can see this building. You are headed, if this is not sidetracked some way, it is already the distraction. But if this is not headed off, you are going to have incredible riots. You can see them working on cowlings now. And OJ actually has no attorneys on his side. They are put in there to bring him down and precipitate this mess. If that attorney, Shapiro, switches over, he is in for hell amongst the people who want to make O.J. Simpson the focus. Did O.J. do it? What difference does it make anymore? It is structured, set up. It doesn't matter what he says or does. All of the evidence has been laid, and there's nothing he can do to counter it. This is why it just must be considered before you make the first incorrect move. Sometimes it just doesn't pay to be a big ego big shot, does it? And especially if it's involved in any way with the elite, they will blackmail you and they will pull you down for their purposes. This will, however, be the way you're able to turn it around. There is no loyalty. They will cut their own throats if it's necessary. Of course, they'll expect to get to the hospital in time to fix their own.
To finish on an up note, instead of all this here bleating that I've been doing, one after, I was about 10 o'clock at night, I was sitting on my little porch admiring the magnificence of Austria, which is magnificent. I says, how about a little ship out there somewhere? There was no stars in the skies at all. And in about 5 minutes, here's this little light over in these hills. So whoever was on it, I chatted around. And I said, well, I'm going in now. You can go. And I went in. And then about 2 minutes later, I sneaked back. And it was gone. I appreciated that one. And the last thing is, I had time to get into Volume 2 of the Pleiades Connection, which deals with the brain. And the magnificence of power, clarity, the light, the life, the whatever that's involved in knowing what's really involved in knowing and thinking and sensing. I finally got it. I actually know, and this is worth the $12,500, what knowing is. Knowing is simply a deep awareness in the stillness with total certainty and no doubt. And that's it. And if, when that comes in, holy Toledo. And then you get into this speaking thing, which is the approach to knowing. Why a brand new illumination takes place. And in the third place, you are enabled to see that we really have been doing nothing but sensing, or I have been doing nothing but sensing all of my existence in this particular 80-year span. So for that, my dear Commander, I admire and respect and love you and hope that you will keep pouring it on.
Thank you, because I'm not going anywhere unless you tag along. You did a wonderful job. It will be the difference in the soul of that man.
We need to turn the tape.
We need to go.
We have an announcement before we can go.
Do you have to have it on the tape?
Negatory.
Well,
You know, it was all wrong. Sure enough, I see.